Good morning. Hope everybody is doing well today. Look at somebody around you, give them a smile and say, hey, I'm glad you're here. Or just whisper it in some way, shape, form, or fashion. There you go. And as always, if you're part of our online audience today, Dr. John Cazito will be taking care of you there. And by the way, everybody in here, just look back and give Dr. John a wave. He's hanging there at the back wall. We've missed him. He had to go out of town for a couple of weeks and just didn't look the same looking back that way. So we appreciate Dr. Cazito and his contribution and looking after and taking care of those that are part of our online audience this morning. And we're so grateful that the Lord has seen fit to lead you here with us today to worship in spirit and in truth. So as we begin, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you again today, we are grateful and thankful for this moment that we have to be able to gather in your name. And Lord, we just pray that in the stillness and the quietness of your house that we will truly seek you today. For we know that your word tells us that if we seek, we'll find. If we knock, it shall be open unto us. So today, Lord, you want to speak to each and every heart on an individual basis in a special way to meet us where we are. So I pray, Lord, that through your word, through prayer, Lord, through the lifting of our voices and praise and worship to you today, that we wouldn't just simply be mechanical as we do that, but Lord, that it truly would be praise from our heart to yours. And Lord, may we prepare our hearts and minds to be able to meet you in this place, that as you speak to us, we will hear very loudly and very, very clearly the leadership and the guidance that you provide in our lives today. So Father, help us. Be with us as we worship you, and may it be a sweet savor to you as we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
See you today. As we turn to hymn number 14, let me just invite anybody who wants to join us for choir practice. It's a new year, and anybody who wants to join us again, I know some have been in the choir in the past, and we'd love to have you again. We're starting some new music. It's a great time to join us at 5 o'clock if you like to. Please stand as we sing Praise to the Lord the Almighty, hymn number 14.
Sweet to trust in Jesus.
Classic, amen. How many of y'all grew up on that one? I did too. Those were good days, weren't they? Hey, if you got your Bible this morning, we're going to be looking at passages that come out of Matthew's Gospel in chapter 18. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18. As you find that, I just want to give everyone a reminder of the fact that in February, we will actually be doing our fundraising in the church for our team that's going to be going to Cuba March the 10th through the 17th. Now, remember, all of our guys that are going, there's six. We have a team of six that are going, and that particular team has already raised their support to go. And what is raised through Central Baptist Church it keeps the ministry that we have been doing for getting close to 20 years over there, minus the last two. This will be our first trip that we've had a chance and an opportunity to go back since 2020. If you remember, our team got back within days of when the whole world basically shut down. And this will be our first chance at being able to go back since then. I know a lot is going to change. There is a challenging budget, but what Central Baptist will do, what is given through Central Baptist is designed for us to help the nationals over there and to perpetuate ministry all through the year. So it's not just us going over there, it is us going over there to support them that they can keep the ministries that they have going. And they are desperately wanting to see us, not just because of the support, but simply because they have become like family to us. So we're really looking forward to that. Six team members. I'm going to try to see if I can see how good my mind's working. There's myself, Ken Allred, Steve Kelly, Mike Stone, Jim Scott, and who am I forgetting? Jeff. There we go. That's six. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you for speaking up and leave me hanging up here. Yeah? Appreciate that. But those are the six that are going. Everything is in place as we prepare for that. So we're looking forward to that opportunity. Again, that's March 10 through 17, but through the Sundays in February, it will be your chance to be able to contribute to the ministries that will go on there. Once again, 100% of what you give goes toward the ministry. Our missionaries have already gotten their support together outside of the churches. Awaken, that meets next door, they're also going to be approaching their congregation about support for these ministries and teams. And then, of course, Jim, who's the pastor over there, is going as part of this team. So we're looking forward to that. So keep us in your prayers. We look forward to having that chance to reunite with them once again. Today, we're going to be looking at some scriptures that I think so many times we look at and we look at one side of the equation instead of all sides of the equation. Have you ever found yourself guilty of doing that? You know, somebody will say, we see it happen a lot in society. A lot of times people will sit back and say, well, I'll tell you one thing, God is a God of love, and a God of love wouldn't do that. Now, I want to start off by simply saying this. God is a God of love. That is who He is. But He is also a God of punishment. The same big old granddaddy that you will crawl up in His lap and He'll love on you and hug you is the same one that will spank your tail to put you back in line and in order. And people forget that. There's a consequence for sin along the way. Now, a passage that we're going to look at today, which is a very, very familiar passage probably to many of us, we only look at one facet of this passage. We do it with great pride, and I will lead you into that as you will see. Look with me, if you would, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, and we're going to begin reading with verse 10. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, beginning with verse 10. It says, "Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost." Verse 12, "What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? And if he should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more over that the sheep over the 99 that did not stray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." Verse 15, "Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, you're good to us, and we're grateful for this opportunity. I pray that you will help us to still our hearts before you and hear what your Spirit would teach each one of us. As Father, we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we look at these passages, most of us have heard that. And the facet that we're really good at when it comes down to this particular passage of Scripture is looking at the fact that God is one who is seeking his children. Now, first of all, we know that in and of ourselves and our sinful nature that we are born with, we don't even have the capability to seek God. That is not within us. That is why God seeks us. Now, we can get into theological standpoints on Calvinism versus Arminianism, but they're big words that nobody really wants to hear about, right? I've always kind of defined it like this. Calvinism says that it's all God and zero man. Arminianism says that it is all man and zero God. And a lot of people would say to me, they'd say, well, Pastor, what are you in Central Baptist Church? I said, we're neither one of those. We're what's called mediate theology, which means that we understand that man in his sinful self isn't capable of seeking God, and therefore God must seek us. You know, that's why we say, behold, I stand at the door and knock. God is the one who is knocking at your door. We don't just get up one day and go seeking God. The Spirit leads us in that regard. The Spirit approaches us. But by the same token, God doesn't kick the door of your heart down. He knocks at the door, which means that you and I have a choice. The choice is we either answer the door or we don't. Kind of like some of us before, you know, you've seen somebody drive up in the driveway and you've hidden from them. How many of y'all have done that? Come on, be honest. You've turned the lights out. You've said, oh no, man, it looks like them Jehovah's Witnesses. Cut the lights off. Everybody get still. Turn the TV off. Yeah, or the neighbor, you're like, he's walking down the street. He looks like he might be coming to the driveway. Shh, be quiet. Shut the dog up. We've done that. We've all done that because we didn't want to answer the door. Well, God is not going to force his way into your heart. He will knock at the door. It is up to you and I to answer it. So you see, God must seek man, but man must open the door and let him in. That means we're mediate theology, okay? So when we look at these particular passages of Scripture, and he's talking about the little ones. See, one of the things that we like to do is we like to talk about how God seeks man. And we're really good at saying, well, brothers, God is not going to let you go. Now, let's just say that we're talking about somebody who's already trusted Christ. We are talking about a believer. When you trusted Christ, you didn't become perfect, did you? Far from it. In fact, we still sin. We've all sinned, and we all fall short of the glory of God. And that doesn't make us perfect, it makes us saved. Trusting Christ makes us saved, doesn't make us perfect, we still mess up. And when we mess up, God will seek us. Because those whom he loves, he chastens. He won't let you get away with it, he'll come after you. You've had that nagging sensation. How many of y'all have ever had the nagging sensation in your heart? The rest of you all perfect people, we need to hang out a little bit. No, you know what it's like. The Holy Spirit is what convicts your heart. But then what happens is we almost get, as believers, into this entitlement kind of mindset. We like to sit back and say, well, God is the one who goes out seeking the one that was lost out of the 99. Now, let me make this very clear. That is true, according to Scripture, right? He does. He goes and he seeks the one who has strayed from the fold. But there's some things I want you to pay attention to in these passages. Look at verse 10 once again. It says, take heed that, what's that next word? You. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. Okay? This is becoming something that is personal to you. Look at verse 12. What do you think? Now this is a parable. He's telling a story to get a point across. He says, if a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountain to seek the one that is straying? Now, do you understand what's going on there? So often what you and I want to do is we want to attribute all of this to God, that God is the one who is going out seeking the one that has left the fold, which is true. Don't get me wrong. I don't want you to think that's not true, because it is. But the other facet that we do not like to see is that God has issued a challenge to each and every reader, to each and every hearer. That means you. That means me. Because look what he says as he goes on in verse 13. He's still continuing to talk about it. And he says, and if he should find it, talking about the one that has strayed, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father that is heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Then, if you will notice in verse 15, he starts to address the other facet that we don't generally like to bring up when we're talking about this. Because in verse 15 says, moreover, if your brother, does that make it personal? Your brother. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. And if he hears you, you have gained a brother. Is that how we function? Let's be real. The answer to that question is no. Yeah, a brother of mine. What is a brother? Now, most of us can think about that in the family aspect of things, which is cool because that's exactly what it is. You know, if I have a brother, a biological brother, then that means we are blood kin. If I have a spiritual brother, then that means we have a spiritual kin. That's why we call each other brothers and sisters. How many of y'all grew up old school where it's like, well, brother so-and-so, would you lead us in prayer? This is my brother so-and-so. This is my in Christ, that's what we are. We are all part of the family. Now, let me ask you, how many of y'all grew up with a brother or a sister? Okay, good. So a lot of y'all are going to get this. When that brother or sister did you wrong, what did you do? Now, don't answer that out loud. There might have been some bloodshed. Fur probably flew. You didn't mind one single bit telling them where they offended you, right? You didn't mind because your idea was, you know what, you got to live with me, man. I'm going to tell you one thing. Your room's right beside mine. We sat at the same table, but I'm going to tell you how you have offended me. We don't do that as believers. You know what we do? We talk about them behind their back. We try to gather support on our side. We try to get the people who are going to see it our way. And essentially what we do is we try to get an enemy set forth between a brother or a sister. JC, you're not going to believe what Steve did to me. And JC's going to go, what? Just the nature of curiosity. Well, let me tell you what he did. And then, is the story ever 100% accurate? No. It's embellished. Like I said, yeah, I'm an Andy Griffith fan. I know some of y'all probably are as well. I watch it a lot. But the hilarious one was when they were talking about gossip. Y'all remember the gossip Andy Griffith, where Barney went by to get some sulfur powder at the drugstore because he had a little cut on his finger. And in a matter of hours, the gossip had Barney Fife killed off, said he'd shot himself was what it was. And just a matter of... See, the story always winds up getting embellished. And then what will happen is, you know, and I'm just picking on JC. JC would never do that. I'm picking on JC and Steve. But JC, all of a sudden, he's like, did you hear what happened to Roy? Did you hear what so-and-so did to him? And then all of a sudden, it becomes like throwing a match in gasoline. And guess who the one person who hasn't been approached is? The person that they have aught against. So here's what I'm trying to make you understand, that in these particular passages, it is true that God will seek the one who has veered away from the other 99, but God also puts the burden on you and I that we are to be the instruments of going after restitution and resolution. Now notice what he said. Verse 15, if your brother sins against you, go tell him his faults. Now, that doesn't mean go in there with a grocery list of why you think they're low down, dirty, no good, double. You've got to go with the right heart, and you've got to go with the right spirit. You have to go with the spirit that you want to reconcile that relationship. You know what happens a lot of times, somebody didn't realize that they offended you. And let me tell you what another big one is. Another big one is often what you think they may have done isn't exactly what they've done. Because what happened was you heard it from somebody else. And remember how those stories get embellished? You're not going to believe what JC said about you, preacher. He said you were the worst preacher he has had in all of his years, and he's got a few behind him. Well, what did he say? Well, he just didn't like that sermon about this, that, or the other. And see, generally what happens is, it wasn't even JC that said it. It was what somebody else thought that they created in their mind, and they get a bunch of gossip going on, and it's not true. And folks, let me tell you, gossip is a tremendous tool of the devil. And what do we do? Instead of doing what the scriptures tell us to do, instead of me going by and saying, JC, let me talk with you for a minute, buddy. I heard something. Somebody said that you said this. Now, here's the thing. First of all, I wouldn't believe JC ever said that. That's one thing, because that's not who that man is. That's not his character. Which is, first of all, the reason I would be sitting there going, somebody's got this messed up. And second of all, I would have gone and told him, when JC be like, no, I never said anything like that. Because here's the other thing I know. If JC said it, JC would tell me he said it. And then we could work on being able to reconcile what the circumstance or the situation is. But instead, what we do is we hide behind the marshmallow pillars that Satan puts up there, and we let our relationships get wedges placed between us. Well, I don't like that person. I don't like this one. Well, guess what? You are part of the family of God. And I'm not God, but if I was, I'd probably put their mansion in heaven right next door to yours so you could see him for all of eternity just to spite you. For not following what the Word of God says. You might have to see him every day for all of eternity, so you better get used to it. By the way, folks, none of us are perfect. Not a single one of us. I mess up. You mess up. We mess up together. But we should always love one another. You know, the really interesting part is that in my 30 years of preaching, here's what I found out. When somebody that has aught against somebody else follows this Matthew 18 prescription, it is generally fixed in a matter of just a few minutes. But when they don't follow the Matthew 18 scriptures, what happens is things go on for years and years and sometimes even decades, not resolved. One of the interesting parts is that I had an opportunity to share with two fellas that were at aught with one another, and they had been at aught with one another for over 20 years. And we sat down and had a discussion, and the thing about it was neither one of them could even remember the reason why the whole rift got started. And one says, well, I think it was about this. Another one said, I never would have done that. Man, you were my best friend. Were my best friend. That's past tense. And then when it finally all shook out, both of them had been deceived for over 20 years. Now, let me tell you, the joy of it is they walked out of that room with a rekindled friendship. But let me tell you, the tragedy in it is they lost 20 years of their lives of being able to serve together, to love one another, to be there for each other. Folks, we're a family. That's what we are. And somebody says, I don't like you, preacher. I'm like, well, that's tough. We're family. You have to. You got to love me, whether you like it or not. Nah. That's the way it's got to go. Now, as we go on a little further, the Lord kind of lays out what we should do. No uncertain terms. He says, if you have aught against your brother, you need to get that fixed. In another place in the Word, back in the Old Testament days, remember what happened? It said that there was a sacrifice that was brought before the altar. And what happened was the Lord said, here's what you need to do. You need to leave the sacrifice on the altar, and you need to go out and make it right with your brother. Then come back and offer the sacrifice. But in the meantime, you leave it right here. Go make it right and then come back. You want freedom? You want liberation from those circumstances and situations? God has commanded you. Now, I know what, listen, here's what people have told me in my ministry days. Well, I'm not the one that did the offending. I said, well, this scripture right here doesn't say that. The scripture says, if you are the one that is offended, if your brother has offended you, then you go to him. We don't like to do that, do we? Because most of us flat out don't like confrontation. How many of y'all do not like confrontation? Let me ask this. How many of y'all do? There's one in every crowd. I need guys like Mark in my life. But you know what? There are some people who do. Some people thrive on it. Some people you've worked with love it. They like to stir the pot. They'll stir it up good. They'll get it going. They'll keep it heated up. You got to watch the marks of the world. And I can say that because I love him and he loves me back. Some people just love and thrive on confrontation. So then what happened? Here is the general thought of what we must do. Here's the big overriding fact. This is the thing that keeps people from doing what Matthew 18 scriptures tell us that we should do. Because you know what it's going to require of us? It's going to require that we forgive that person for what they did. And we don't like to do that, do we? To hold that ought against them, don't we? Well, if you just knew what they did to me, if you knew how bad they hurt me, if you knew what was taking place. So we try to justify our anger. We try to justify our, and I'll use the term, hatred toward that person. We try to justify not forgiving that person because of what they did to us, don't we? I mean, if you really pick it apart, isn't that what we do? We try to justify it. Well, let me tell you what the Lord says. And by the way, last time I checked, he trumps everything else, doesn't he? So what does he say? Here's what he says in verse 21. It says, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Peter's sitting there going, that's kind of challenging. That's kind of tough to do. So how many times am I supposed to? You see, believe it or not, there was a lot of laws and different things back in that day and spiritual law. And actually what Peter was doing was, when Peter said, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? And then he says, up to seven times. That would have been far exceeding what the law called for. So he started off saying, should I forgive him seven times? See, that's making him sound real spiritual, don't it? Seven times? That'd be good enough for you, Lord? I'll forgive him seven times. I only need to twice. But hey, if I go seven times, that'll be good and clear. Lord, seven times good enough? Then look at what Jesus told him in verse 22. Verse 22, Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Now Peter probably feels a little small, doesn't he? Say what? I am supposed to forgive that many times? Now, a lot of people would sit back and say, well, I thought that once you forgave somebody, you forgive somebody. Yeah, it's true. But let me put it to you this way. Forgiveness is not always a one and done thing, is it? Particularly when you have been hurt very badly. How many of you all have been in a circumstance or a situation where you've been done wrong, you've been hurt, you've been done badly, and with all of your heart, on your face before God, you sit back and say, Lord, I want to forgive them with all of my heart, with all of my soul, and with all of my mind. And then the next day, them same old nasty thoughts creep back in and everything. How many of y'all have ever? Okay. Then what you have to do is you go back once again and you say, Lord, I need some help here. I'm having trouble with this. I need to forgive them again. See, what the Lord was saying was this. It's not just simply a one and done thing. You don't just, it's not like flipping a light switch in a dark room and all of a sudden, I forgive them, click, and the light's on. No. When somebody has hurt you deeply, it takes time to do that. It takes time to rebuild that relationship. It takes forgiving often over and over again. And that is exactly what the Lord was saying here. He says, you keep on trying with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your might to do what is right before me. And I will give you grace and I will give you mercy and I will give you strength. But because we're imperfect, those thoughts creep back in. And you know what happens? Eventually, it becomes easier and easier. You know, you're sitting there saying, I need to forgive that person yet again. And then as time goes, it becomes easy. Because see, at that point, what you're doing is you are turning the situation over to God instead of trying to handle it yourself. And we're control freaks, aren't we? We don't like to let go of nothing. But I will make you this promise. The word says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, thus saith the Lord. When God repays somebody, I promise you, you'll be praying for mercy on their soul. The one that you thought was your enemy. The one you wanted to pray the David prayers, Lord, send them alive to hell, don't even kill them. Before long, you'll be asking God to lighten up on them. Until 70 times 7. And he goes on and he tells a story to relate that situation. Verse 23 says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun settling the accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. That's a lot of money, folks. That's more money than you and I can imagine. All right? If you've got Bible notes, look in them. But I mean, it's more than, that's a lottery win right there. That's how much this guy owed. But verse 25 says, but as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, that payment be made. He was perfectly in his rights to do that. The debt couldn't be paid, so I'm going to sell you, your wife, your children. He could do that. That was perfectly legal to do that. So what happens, verse 26, the servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Now, there is no way that this man could have paid back that debt in full. Are you getting the spiritual connotation here? You and I have a debt that we can never, ever repay in full. We can't do it. We're not capable of it. But thanks be to Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on Calvary's cross, you and I have an opportunity for freedom and redemption through Jesus. He has paid the price for us. But yet, that servant says, Master, please don't do this. Be patient with me. I will pay everything back. And in verse 27, it says, the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him of his debt. Moved with compassion. Where is the compassion in American people today? Where is the compassion in God's people today? We're not compassionate for anybody anymore, are we? I mean, yeah, I hate watching those, what is it, the ASPCA commercials. I hate that. Because I'm a pretty compassionate guy, and I love pets. And it starts off, you know, with this dog chained up with some logging chain out in the middle of nowhere with the snow, and they're sitting there shivering and freezing. Makes me just want to go out there and cut that chain, punch somebody in the nose, and take that dog home with me. That's the whole idea. For those that still have some compassion to move you to action. And the problem is, now get this, if you don't get anything else, please get this today. If we do not have compassion for the lost, and we do not have compassion anymore for our brothers and sisters, then we will go nowhere. We have to care. Do we care anymore that people die and go to hell? Do we care anymore about our brothers and sisters as we go through life? Where's the compassion? Where is the heart of compassion that drives you to a burden, which that burden drives you to action? You sit back and say, you know, I may not be able to do much, but Lord, help me with what I can do to be a part of the solution instead of part of the problem. Do we do that? Or do we sit back? You see, here's what happens. You generally either do that or you sit back and criticize those who are doing. Now, I mean, some of y'all have learned around here. If you come to me and say, well, I'll tell you, I don't like how that's being run. I'm like, okay, you start next Sunday. You're in charge of it. No, I didn't want that. Okay, then let me be spiritual. Then shut your pie hole. Start working to be a part of the solution and not be part of the problem. Because it's going to take people. It's going to take God's people with a heart and with a compassion. Because I can make you this promise. With just what's in this room, we could change the world if we functioned that way. People would be hanging in the windows trying to get in this place if they just felt loved. If they felt cared for, genuinely, the master, verse 27, of that servant was moved with compassion, and he released him and he forgave him of the debt. More than anybody could ever imagine, he was forgiven of that debt. Would you think that servant would be grateful? Should be. But what happened? Verse 28 says, but that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, nowhere near what he owed the master. A small sum, 100 denarii. And he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe me. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and he begged him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay you all. Have you heard that somewhere before? Like a couple of verses before that? The same one who was now hearing those words was the same word who just moments before was saying those words. Master, have mercy on me. Now here is a chance for this man to show mercy upon somebody else. And if you look at it, he didn't owe him anywhere near what the other servant that was forgiven the debt owed. Remember, there's a difference between a talent and a denarii. Huge difference. And he begged him in verse 29, have patience with me and I will pay you all. And verse 30 said, and he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then the master, after he had called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. You asked me, and I had compassion on you, and you owed me tons and tons of money." And then he said in verse 33, "Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?" And the master was angry, and he delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. You know what? That was a lifetime sentence, because he would never be able to pay it back. It says, "So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother's trespasses." That's deep, man. That's deep and wide, isn't it? You know what God's saying to you? God is saying, you are to forgive as you have been forgiven. Now, I don't know about your personal lives, but let me tell you something about mine. I have been forgiven a lot. I have been forgiven much. And the Lord says, in the same way that I have forgiven you, you are to forgive others. I like what was said. It's not, actually it was said by Harold Vaughn, and I love this. It says, "Forgiving others is based on what God has done for us, not what others have done to us." Did you get that? Let me run that back one more time. Forgiving others is based on what God has done for us, not what others have done to us. You don't forgive them because they deserve forgiveness or not. You forgive them because God commanded it and God forgave you. And God says, you don't get to be judge, jury, and executioner. You forgive. "Well, Lord, you know what they did to me." He says, "Yep, and you need to forgive them. Whether it's big, whether it's small, you need to forgive." Now, let me tell you this. If you don't do that, you better be very, very careful. I can't tell you how many people have sat in my office and said, "I know what the word says, but I'm not going to do it." I said, that's dangerous, dangerous territory. Because you're dealing with God, my friend. Notice what he said in verse 35. "So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother." And what is that that he's going to do? Verse 34, "His master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him." You know what God says? God says, look at what I've forgiven you from. And look at what you're holding against somebody else. You forgive them. It's a commandment. It's not a suggestion. You forgive them. "I'm not going to do it." God says, "Oh, yes, you will, one way or the other." He says, okay, if that's the standard you want to use, then that's the standard I'll use on you. Matthew 7 in verse 1, remember what it says? Matthew 7, 1 says, "Judge not lest ye be judged." And then he goes on and he says this, if you're going to sit in the seat of judgment, the standard of judgment that you use against your brother, if it's good enough for you to use against your brother, then I'll use it against you. See, we're all for punishment when it comes to somebody else, and we're all for grace when it comes to us, aren't we? You sit back and say, God, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get the biggest, slickest, aged old hickory stick that you can find. And then I want you to go upside their head until they're out and bleeding. And God says, okay, I got a hickory stick. When I get back, I'm going to use this hickory stick on you. In the same fashion that you're asking me to use it on somebody else. And at that point, you know what we say? Hold on. I don't want you to use that on me. God says, well, you want me to use it on somebody else? If it's good enough for you to request me to use on somebody else, then I'll use it on you. Listen, if you think I'm kidding, go read Matthew chapter 7. He says the same standard of judgment that if you feel it's all right to use on somebody else, he said, I'll use that against you. Oh, that's why for me, man, I'm a forgiving machine. Tell you something else I do. I sleep really good at night. And I mean it from my heart. Yeah, there's been times that it's cut. Yeah, there have been times that it's hurt. Yeah, there have been times that I was disappointed that people I felt would always be by my side turned their backs on me. That hurts, doesn't it? Yet, you know what I've said? Lord, I forgive. Why do I forgive? Well, A, because I am required to forgive. That's number one. But B, I also realize that for me, I want my life to be lived in the best way possible. I'm not even worried about vengeance. That's up to God. I want to walk through this life and I want to enter the kingdom of heaven having done all I could to represent Him well. It's like that old thing that was going around, says, one of the hardest pills I've had to swallow was realizing I meant nothing to people that meant a lot to me. And you know that hurt. You know that hurt. Everybody in here, if you've lived long enough, you know that hurt. But you know what? The Lord sticks closer than a brother. He has never left you nor forsaken you. He will always be there. And He says, nope, here's what you need to do. And you know what we do? Okay. And that's the reason why sometimes it takes 70 times 7. But it's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. Who is it in your life today that needs to hear this? That needs to hear these words? Who in your life today, what is it that the Lord has told you about those people who have offended you? Have you tried to reconcile it? You know, some people have come back and said, you know what, I went and I tried, they wouldn't have anything to do with me. And I said, you know what, you have done what the Scripture has told you to do, and therefore the Holy Spirit will free you of conviction in that regard. Ball's not in your court anymore. It's in theirs. That doesn't mean you go, oh, I'll wash my hands to it and walk away. No, no, that means you still make yourself available. I've had that happen in my life before where years and years later somebody came back and apologized and said, will you forgive me for this? And you know what I said? I forgave you when it happened. And that's the reason I sleep well at night. I forgave you the moment it happened. Didn't agree with it, didn't like it. But I'm going to tell you one thing. Call it a spiritual gift if you want. That's something God has given me. I'll cry some tears, but I'll get up and move on. That doesn't mean that the hurt went away, but you know what else it means? It means that I stand ready for reconciliation to anybody I've ever met in my life where reconciliation is needed, and would gladly, gladly welcome them into my life. Why? Because I'm commanded to do that. I just want to love people. That's what I want to do. I want people, when someday somebody stands around my casket or graveyard, if the rapture don't occur before then, to say, you know what? That dude loved people. And because he loved people, he had compassion. And because he had compassion, he told them about Jesus. And because he told them about Jesus, the kingdom of heaven was enhanced. Because that's all that matters. We chase so many things that don't amount to a hill of beans in the grand scheme of things. Don't we? Your bank account don't mean squat in heaven. I like that old joke where, you know, old boy, yeah, obviously it's a joke, said he took his wealth to heaven with him. And when he got up there, he was proud, rolling that wheelbarrow down heaven, and a couple of guys were laughing and said, look at this dude, he brought up a load of pavement because the streets are gold. Don't amount to a hill of beans. Your life is but a vapor that appeareth for only a short while. Are you living it for the Lord? Or has Satan got you so distracted, you don't know whether you're coming or going? And listen, Satan's good at distracting people. He loves to distract Christian people, doesn't he? He can have us, like the church at Ephesus, being so busy doing good stuff that we're not doing the right stuff or the things that he's called us to do and asked us to do. As we head into a new year, you know what our marching orders are? Let's love one another. Let's encourage one another. Let's not be what the world is today. Have you noticed that it's gotten worse since the pandemic, but everybody's a critic about everything? Critical, critical, critical. It's contagious. It's a disease. We criticize everything, don't we? I don't want to say we, but you know what's happened is it's rubbed off on us, hasn't it? We're just critical. God says, look, let's work on loving each other. Let's work on truly praying for one another. And you watch what God will do. He'll do some incredible things. I'm going to ask Brad, if he would, and our musicians to take their place as we begin our time of invitation. As you've gotten here today, remember what we said to start with. God seeks you. Too many people have this adage and idea that when I was little, I went down the front and I prayed with the preacher and I did this and I did that and I did the other thing and I checked the box on the card and I did these blah, blah, blah. That's not salvation. Salvation is a personal relationship with the Lord. It's hanging out with Him. Are you hanging out with Jesus? Or have you just don't have time for that these days because you're too busy making the buck or climbing the corporate ladder or whatever? Are you hanging out with Jesus? Some of y'all are going, that kind of sounds unspiritual. No, that's exactly what he wants. Are you hanging out with Jesus? Are you spending time with him? Have you gotten to know him? I've said so many times, I've made an introduction to bunches of people before. You know, I could sit back and say, hey, folks, listen, I want you to meet Kirk. This is my friend Kirk. Kirk, that's Tim. Tim, that's Kirk. They know each other because they're cousins. But anyway, Tim, Kirk, Kirk, Tim. If they walk away and never, ever speak to each other again, it's kind of hard for them to say that they know each other, isn't it? I think there's a lot of people who have shaken hands with Jesus but never taking him as their Savior. Check yourself today. The Holy Spirit will let you know. It's not up to me, it's up to him. You just know a lot about him, or do you know? And listen, if you don't, then I want to invite you. I'm going to make another introduction. My friend, Jesus. Jesus, my friend. And you can tell him today that you want to be buddies with him, that you want him to be your Savior. And if that's you, just simply where you are, say, Lord Jesus, today I know I'm a sinner. Save my soul. Help me live for you. In your name we pray. Amen. Now listen, if you meant that, that's the introduction. That's the handshake. It's up to you to cultivate the relationship through his word, through prayer, through sermons, through wise, godly counsel. Will you start that journey today? Listen, if you trusted Christ, we want to celebrate with you, whether you're part of our online audience or here. Let us know. We want to celebrate with you. You know, we'd love to see you following believers' baptism because that's what the Lord says, the first act of obedience as a Christian. If you're going to get started off right, that's, hey, man, that's it. We got several to baptize right now. We'd love to just, you know, put you in the pool too. We like to work Jeff and Tim and the baptistry people. We fill that sucker up, man. Yeah, it's ready, isn't it? It's got water in it. We're ready. Chlorinated and skimmed and everything. It's ready to go. No fuzzies floating in it. Would you join us on the greatest journey of your life? Listen, if you're here, just let me know that. Unless if you're part of our online audience, let Dr. John know that. We'll follow up with you, whatever the case may be. We want to celebrate because that's what we're here for. Maybe you're here today and you're like, man, I've just been caught in this endless loop of stuff. It's time to break that. It's time to break that circle of criticism. It is time to get back to doing what it is that the Lord told us that we should do, and that is love one another. Forgive one another. Serve with one another. Man, I love people. I look out and I see a myriad of different personalities and skill sets and talents, and I love each and every one of them. And God has brought us together for a reason. Because we need you as much as you need us. We need each other. Maybe it's time that you got the swift kick in the backside that 2023 will be the best year ever serving Jesus. If you need this old altar to give some things up, it's here. Where the Lord hears you wherever you are. But whatever the case is, whatever it may be, you do business with God based on what the Holy Spirit has told you as we stand and as we sing our invitation hymn, number 295, Near to the Heart of God.
There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed
your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed as you do business with God. Listen, right now is the time. Don't let Satan hold you back from what's taking place and what's going on, what the Spirit's doing with you today. Make it right with Him. No matter what happens, leave this place different. You know, the thing is, if you do the same old thing, you're going to get the same old results. What is God leading you to do? What change is He leading to? Allow Him to do that. As you do that, I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way down to the front as we receive the Lord's tithe and our offering. Father, we're grateful and thankful for the provision that you give each and every one of us. Lord, you have blessed us abundantly and beyond measure. And Father, we just pray that you will help us as we enter into this time of worship where we give back to you that portion that you have richly, richly blessed us with. May we truly be found faithful in doing so, that Lord, you might expand our borders, not for us, but Father, for you. Lord, help us to be wise and good stewards of what belongs to you and how it's utilized. As Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Vicky. I'm just going to give you a couple things. We'll get you out here. Birthdays today. Mitchell Logan, if you get a chance, give him a message, send him a card. Also, Friday, Kirk Gross and Michelle Vernon Duncan have birthdays. That'll be this coming Friday. And then on Saturday, Sally Logan will celebrate her birthday. So that lets you know what we've got going for this week, folks that you can harass a little bit because of age. Just a couple of quick things. We'll get you out of here. There is going to be a health and safety meeting for a few minutes right after the service. Next door in the conference room. Blake, if you will make sure that door is open for them. So as soon as I say the amen, if y'all will shoot over there for just a minute, Betty Cazito has got a few things to share with our health and safety team. Also, the Lighty Moon Post Office, as we call it, you saw that out in the narthex. Stop by there, look, pick up your Christmas cards, and also the year-end statements of giving are in there, so you can find the one with your name on it. You'll have those tax records if you need those. Choir practice, 5 o'clock p.m. Brad's taking anybody new that would like to come along and help out. So if you can sing and we're convicted today, then make your preacher feel good and come to choir practice. So there we go. Also tonight, just remember this: there will not be any adult Bible study in here tonight. David actually had that kidney procedure where he had to have the lipotripsy and not bouncing back quite as well as he would like to. He's having a few complications. So that's the reason you don't see Pastor David here today, but keep he and Donna in your prayers. Nothing major, but nonetheless, just a few complications that he's having from that lipotripsy that he had this past week. So do keep him in your prayers. Building Grounds also has a meeting today at 3:30, Family Life Center in the choir room right across from the kitchen. That's 3:30. Finance has a meeting today at 4 o'clock p.m. Where do y'all meet, Maury? That's not right. Okay. So finance is not meeting today. If you were, we just gave you a reprieve and we will let you know. No finance meeting today. Also, band rehearsal sanctuary here. Do you want to adjust the time on that, Jim? 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock p.m. Band rehearsal right here in the sanctuary. Awana is at 5:30 on our normal schedule. And we do have a men's breakfast on Wednesdays at 10 o'clock a.m. at the Olympic Restaurant in Colfax. If you can join us for that, that is outstanding. in closing, just remember, we've had a pretty rough week this past week. Continue to remember David and Tammy Bowman and Annette Joyce, as well as Debbie McDonald, as they recover from COVID. So we've got quite a few people that have been down with COVID. And also pray for that Jimmy McDonald doesn't catch it, and of course that Kelly Joyce doesn't catch it from his spouse, and Jimmy don't catch it from Debbie. That's what we're going to pray for. So y'all lift them in your prayers. Also, Marsha Wall. Marsha had shoulder reconstructive surgery this past Friday, doing as well as can be expected, just dealing with pain, but we do want to keep her lifted in our prayers. And then J.D., we want to continue to remember J.D. Crider as he recovers. He had to have an emergency appendectomy last week. Is doing well, but nonetheless, we want to continue to remember him in our prayers. So with that, let me... And if you didn't have a chance to hear that, that is Millie, who is actually pinch hitting for Donna today. Always does a wonderful job. Millie Heiss, she's very appreciative of your cards, thoughts, letters, prayers, and acts of kindness during the loss of her husband here recently. So we love Miss Millie, and we're going to continue to pray for her on her journey. And that just means that she lost one family member, but she gained a whole bunch more. We're going to keep on loving Miss Millie. And we appreciate her filling in for Donna today on the organ as Donna tends to tends to David and his health. Is there anything I've forgotten before I completely lose my voice? All right, don't forget, I will make this announcement. The church did receive the check from the DOT this past week, so that will be going in. That was the last piece of that puzzle, and Maury gets to put a big check in coming up. Don't forget, pray for our Cuba team, and then pray about what God would have you give toward the ministry of what will take place in Cuba. We will be taking that during the month of February. Each of the Sundays in February, 100% of that will go toward the ministries, not the team members. We're already paid up and ready to go, but it'll be the ministry that we do while we're there. Okay? All right, let's all stand. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. I love you and I appreciate you. Father, you're good to us. Thank you so much for this opportunity to come together. Lord, I'm thankful that you forgive us. Help us, Father, to grow in grace and strength as we forgive others as we have been forgiven. Lord, may it not be as big of a challenge each time that we're obedient and faithful to follow your word and your will and do things your way. Now, Lord, we pray that you'll give us a great day and a great week. Help us, Father, to represent you well out in our community and wherever we may go. Father, send us to somebody who needs to just hear the words, I love you, that may need a hug, may need some compassion. Lord, help us to be cognizant of relationships that need to be mended based on Matthew chapter 18. And then, Lord, may we truly be found obedient as we go forward to do that. Give us grace, give us strength. Is Lord our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks. We'll see you later.